for nominations. I move for the session on the 26th of May 2015. I put it to the floor. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. Acting Chair. can I make a proposal? I propose Honorable Nyambi to chair the session.
I second that. Are there any further nominations? In the absence of any further nominations, Mr. Nyambi, duly elected acting chairperson of the Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources for the session of the 26th of May. Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Quickly get to the apologies. In front of me is the one of the minister and the teacher. Any other apologies? I'm told there's another one of Mr. Honorable Hai. Those are the three apologies we have. Let me welcome the department DM, Oliphant. Sometimes we take it for granted that whenever it suits us that at no stage we are going to praise a fish for swimming, but we are mindful that it's always in order to give credit where it's due, even though it's expected whenever it's possible to have people in charge, the chair is in. And I'll tell him that it's, he has been fired. That was on a lighter note. We were aware that you were in that meeting where cell phones are not allowed, chairperson. So we took it upon ourselves that we are not going to waste much time. But as I explained that it's always advisable to give credit where it's due. So without much ado, the part of dealing with the minister will be the last part after we have dealt with the serious business of today. I'll take this opportunity, give it to the DM to be the one that will be breaking the ice and this thing of introductions. Even I'm Jomo Nyambi, I'm from the most beautiful province in South Africa, Mpumalanga. Then remember, introduce yourself quick.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Ellen Prince. I'm representing the Western Cape.
I'm Omi Singh. I'm representing the warmest province in this country, KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Kathy Wabuskafe. I'm presenting the Western Cape, another one of the most beautiful provinces.
Good morning, I'm Bayer Smith, representing Limpopo, the most northern province of South
Africa. Lennox Hiller, Eastern Cape.
Sanbonani, umusa wenkosi Mlambo, okuma kwiHub, Gauteng, Mabone. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Ulisile Sofako. I'm representing the province of Moses Kotane, J.V. Max. I'm happy that the minerals is here to present mineral resources. That is the department in which those two giants has been involved in making the riches of this world.
I'll jump the DM officials from the department. We're not going to have reliable sources. Everybody that is there is going to lose you. Starting from the far corner.
I'm Olushola from TNT.
Okay. I'm Vusele Makakola, the PLO.
I'm Yvonne Balakaza, College Assistant.
My name is Zandile Nkonyane from DMR.
Good morning, I'm Ayan Dashezi from DMR.
Good morning, I'm Thokozi Sizondi from DMR.
Good morning, I'm Joe Ratela, DD General Regulation.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson members. My name is David Nsiza, I'm the Chief Inspector of Mines.
Morning, Honorable members. My name is Kaya Matlosa in the Office of the DG.
We don't want to regulate this.
Good morning, Kuba Shuista, researcher for the committee.
Good morning, everyone. Asghar Bawa, committee secretary. Thank you.
Right at the back. Go to the mic. Introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Christopher. I'm from the DTAC in the National Treasury.
Thank you. Thank you. Now we know who's here. There's no need to introduce the DM. I'll take this, without much ado, I'll take this opportunity, give it to our Deputy Minister, Honorable Oliphant, to be the one breaking the ice before and telling us who will be taking us through the presentation. Honorable DM.
Acting Chairperson Tate Nyambi, thank you very much for the opportunity. Thanks for inviting us to this very important committee of the NCOP. I realize that the officials were very shy to really introduce themselves in their boldness like you did in your provinces. They did not want to take the challenge up because some of them were TDGs, Mineral Regulations, Chief Inspector of Mines, CFO, and so on. They avoided that, but I'm sure as we go on, they will disclose those titles that they have. Obviously, from our side, we delighted to come and brief the committee on various aspects of what we do in the Department of Mineral Resources. And in the inputs here today, various TDGs and officials will be making inputs on topical issues. And they will do that as we have planned them. But in general, we are also aware that in the previous engagements, there have been some questions that were asked to the department, and we presented written responses to those questions. If there are any other matters, maybe we can deal with them as we go. But for the purpose of today, we also want to highlight that we meet at a very interesting time in the mining industry, both with the complexities that are facing this industry, but also the excitement going forward, knowing our beautiful geology. South Africa still remains one of the most significant jurisdictions of mining. for many reasons, because we've been doing it for so long. We've been mining formally for well over 100 years, and our beautiful geology still suggests that we're going to be mining for well for the next 100 years plus. So it's important that once we try and resolve the legacies of the past, we also plan for the future. But in the legacies that we're talking about, we're basically talking about issues that relate to the rehabilitation of the economy and the rehabilitation of our environment that has been damaged over many years. It's a matter that we ceased with, that we are going to continue with, because it needs a lot of resources to go into that. You'll hear later about the issues of health and safety, the stress that we've made over the years, and that we also had a summit last year, a summit of the council, Mine Health and Safety Council, to try and chart the way forward to deal with health and safety matters. But in terms of economic growth, we have seen very important investments over the last 10 years of the, or 12 years of the MPRDA, and we still suggest that we're still going to see some things going forward in that regard. But we must also say that whilst we have all these positivities that we're talking about, there are also serious challenges that are facing the industry now. Some of the challenges relate to commodity prices, and some of the issues that are raised in terms of compliance issues. Commodity prices, we know that the prices of platinum, coal, are very low, and iron ore. So the companies are battling in that regard. But what makes it complex is also that when we passed the law and implemented it in 2004, we gave ourselves some program of transformation for the next 10 years, which was elaborated in the Mining Charter. The Mining Charter 10-year transformation process ended last year in December, and at the moment we are still assessing compliance. So these are the issues that are still in the public domain, and at the appropriate time, the Minister has indicated that he will come and give proper report on this matter, so it will still be outstanding for some time. The last matter that I just want to allude to, just as an update, is that Parliament is still seized, including the NCOP, with the process of the MPRDA Amendment Bill, as was referred to back by the President. So it's still a matter that is topical, that at the appropriate time we'll have to return and then take that matter forward as well. But for the purpose of today, maybe I should give to the Chief Inspector of Mines here, the DDG, to just take us through the presentations after we've made the general comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, you can take us through.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and members, and good morning once again. We'll be taking you through our strategic plan and our annual at our APP, together with my colleagues. The outline of our presentation will start off by highlighting the mandate, the vision, the mission and values. And secondly, we'll also highlight the DMR structure and where we are located in the provinces, our offices as well. And fourthly, the strategic outcome-orientated goals. And we'll also touch on the organizational environment and progress, and also the overview of the budget, and we'll also highlight program tools for information, and also the performance of the mining industry. And lastly, we'll conclude. Next slide. In terms of our mandate as a Department of Mineral Resources, it's informed by, firstly, by the constitution of the land. The department's mandate is found in Section 24 of the Constitution of South Africa, Act Number 108 of 1996. Legislative mandate, we administer two pieces of legislation, that is the MPRDA, or the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act, Number 28 of 2002, also the Mine Health and Safety Act, Number 29 of 1996. Which provide a regulatory framework for the promotion and regulation of the industry. as well as the equitable access to and the sustainable development of the nation's mineral sources and related matters. And lastly, on that slide, our policy mandate is informed by the white paper, that is the mineral on minerals and mining policy for South Africa, which ensures that the transparent and efficient regulation of the development of South Africa's mineral resources and mineral industry to meet national objectives and bring optimum benefit to the nation. Our strategic plan and our vision will actually see as well with the time frame. So we've ensured that our strategic plan is aligned to the NDP, the National Development Plan, and the MTSF. The Vision 2019, we aim to for a globally competitive, sustainable, and meaningfully transformed mining and mineral sector. And the Vision 2030, to be a leader in the transformation of South Africa through economic growth and sustainable development by 2030. And in terms of our mission is to promote and regulate the minerals and mining sector for transformation, growth, and development, and ensure that all South Africans derive sustainable benefit from the country's mineral wealth. We have the values as outlined there, which includes Batopili, ethics, honesty, integrity, accountability, professionalism, and Ubuntu. Our DMR structure, we have our ministry, we are led by our minister and our DM, and also the director general, and we have five branches: mineral regulation, policy and promotion, the mine health and safety, inspectorate, corporate service, and the finance, which are headed by DDG, all of them. Offices of the department, we generally have offices and satellite offices in the nine provinces. Our head office is in Pretoria. Our head Eastern Cape main office is in PE, and our satellite office is in Tata. And we also have an office in Velcro. Gauteng, we also have an office. KwaZulu-Natal, our office is in Durban. In Limpopo, our office is in Polokwane. Mpumalanga is at the Malahleni. Northern Cape is in Kimberley, and a satellite office in Springbok. Northwest, we have two offices, Klerksdorp and Rustenburg, also for growth of the platinum sector in the Rustenburg area. And lastly, the Western Cape, our offices here in Cape Town. Our strategic outcomes or the orientated goals are four, and as I've indicated before, we've also strived to align them to our to the MTSF. The first one is the increased investment in the minerals and mining petroleum sectors, which are the applicable outcomes, the national outcomes, is outcome 4 and 6 as indicated on the slide. Strategic goal 2, transform mineral sector, the applicable outcome is outcome 4. Strategic goal 3, equitable and sustainable benefit from mineral resources, the relevant outcomes is outcomes 4, 6, and 10. And lastly, strategic goal 4, efficient, effective, and development-oriented department, the applicable outcome is outcome 12. In terms of the programs in the department, we have the administration program, which have five sub-programs, including the ministry, the corporate service, the department management, financial administration, and lastly, internal audit. The mine health and safety inspector, secondly, which is program 2. I have two sub-programs, mine health and safety, which are the region, the regions, and also 2.2, the governance, policy, and oversight in head office. Similarly, with the mineral regulation, we have two sub-programs, the mineral regulation administration and management mineral regulation. Lastly, we have the mineral policy and promotion program, which have four sub-programs, including the mining and minerals policy, the mineral promotion, economic advisory services, and lastly, mine environmental management. In terms of the budget for the MTF, I'll also request the CFO to take us through the budget. Thank you.
Your mic. Oh.
Assistance, Chairperson, morning, Deputy Minister, and honorable members. We have the budget for the past 3 years, for the next 3 years, and we have also shown the budget for the previous financial years. But for the purpose of today's discussion, I will just focus on the middle column, which is the 2015-2016 budget, which is aligned to the annual performance plan that we are presenting today. In terms of the total budget, we have got a budget of 1.6 billion, which is a little bit higher than what we had in the previous years. And that 1.6 billion was divided into the different programs as it was presented in the previous slides. 293.2 million going to administration, 175.8 going to mine health and safety, mineral regulations 260.4, and the bulk of the budget goes to our entities, which is 889 for the current year. The next slide, Chairperson, shows how the same budget was distributed according to the different economic classification. Next slide, please. According to the different economic classification, you will notice again that the bulk goes to transfer and sales subsidies, which is the entities, and 528 represent compensation of employees, which is staff cost for the current year, and goods and services is only 277.6 million. And the next slide shows that 800, how it's distributed amongst the different entities. MINTEC, which is responsible for research, is 390.7. South African Diamond and Precious Metals, 50.5 million. Council for Geoscience, 325 million. You will notice on the mine health and safety that in the previous years we used to get funding for it, but for the next MTEF and the current year there's no funding, as Treasury believes that the funds that they have, they are able to sustain themselves for the period. The next slide is just an analysis of the budget that I've presented. When you read on the E&E that the Minister of Finance has tabled, you will notice that the department received a baseline increase of around 150 million over the MTEF. But on the same note, this is the year where departments were asked to cut on their budget. On the same note, we got a baseline reduction of 73.5 million, which means that overall, the net increase of our budget is only 76.3 million over the MTEF. We are, however, delighted that we managed to secure 42 million for enforcement of the Minerals and Resources Development Act. We also received extra funding for the shale gas, 108 million over the MTEF, and that will be utilized for advocacy and research. 50% of it we have allocated to the Council for Geoscience, who will assist us with some scientific environmental baseline assessment, which will augment the regulations that are already developed. The next slide continues to show, honorable members, Chairperson had asked that we show you how much was allocated for the acid mine drainage project. Our acid mine drainage projects are implemented by CGS, and we had 15 million over the MTEF, of which translates to 5 million per annum. In terms of compensation of employees, because a lot of our work involves monitoring and ensuring compliance and promotion, most of our budget goes to compensation of employees. It represents 32.6% in the 2015-16 financial year and 33.76% over the MTEF. the mineral regulations, mine health and safety programs contribute 58.9% of the total compensation of employee budget, which is the core where service delivery normally takes place. The higher contribution, though, also is also attributable to the technical expertise that are required in inspection and the labor-intensive nature of inspections. The next slide shows that of the goods and services allocated, it represents almost 17% of the total budget and 19% over the MTF. The main cost driver in the goods and services budget is linked to compensation of employees, is the subsistence and traveling, which contribute 32.5%, because the mines are stretched and inspectors have to travel to those places in order to do inspections. That is followed by the operating leases, which is mainly our office accommodation across all the provinces. And computer services represent a small percentage of 8.77%, which of the total budget, and this is mainly on administration. The transfer and subsidies is the biggest contributor, 49.5%, and all money that goes to the entities are budgeted for under specific programs. Like, you will find that the South African Diamond and Precious Metal budget sits under Program 3, which is mineral regulations, because it's about regulation. The one for Council for Geoscience and Mintex is under Program 4, which is promotion and policy. There's nothing in the current year for miners and safety. Then next slide. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Getting to program two. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, honorable members. I will be presenting program two, which is the mining and safety.
Sorry to say, CFO, can you switch it off?
Thank you. And the discussion of my presentation is also linked to pages 34 to 37 of the APP. The purpose of the branch is to execute the department's mandate to safeguard the health and safety of mine workers and people affected by mining activities. And the objective of the branch is to reduce mining-related deaths, injuries, ill health through the formulation of national policy and legislation, the provision of advice, and the application of systems that monitor, audit, and enforce compliance in the mining sector. Next slide. The structure of the branch comprises of the management and safety, which is the regional offices, as Mr. Mzisa alluded to. And then secondly, it's the governance, policy, and oversight, which is the head office component. The management and safety regions is responsible for conducting audits, inspections, investigations, and inquiries, enforcing the Management and Safety Act and its provisions, and also conducting of examination services and providing professional advice to the mining industry. And the governance, policy, and oversight, which is the head office, is responsible for the governance, development of policy and legislation that enhance enforcement work, technical support to the regional offices, chairing of the tripartite structures, which is mainly the Mining Qualifications Authority and the Mine Health and Safety Council, administration and issuing of certificates of competency, and the facilitation of the HIV and AIDS worker in the mining sector. The Mine Health and Safety strategic objectives are as follows. The first one is to promote health and safety in the mining industry, and secondly, to contribute to skills development. Thirdly, is also to implement service level agreements. Fourthly, is to develop and review internal processes.
And lastly, also to improve the turnaround times. And I'll be going through each, Honorable Chair, I'll be going through each strategic objective one by one. The strategic objective is to promote health and safety in the mining industry. And what are the key measures that we measure ourselves against? The first one is to reduce occupational fatalities and injuries by at least 20% per annum. And then secondly, is also to make sure that we reduce occupational diseases, including TB, by at least 10% per annum. And also strive to make sure that we complete 8% of the investigations and inquiries. And the reason why we decided on the 8% is that some of these investigation inquiries take quite a long process. They involve the mining industry and sometimes the legal representatives from the mines. So sometimes can be a lengthy process. That's why we decided on the 80% target. And the further measures under the promotion of health and safety is that our regions, they conduct about 8,000 inspections per annum, and also plan to conduct 396 audits. And the inspectorate also compiles an annual report on the performance of the mining sector, and also be talking to that later on. Also, regional offices are expected to convene at least 40 tripartite workshops per annum. And at the tripartite workshops, that's where the department, labor, and the employers within the mining industry, they engage on the challenges that they might be having on that specific region. Our second objective is to contribute to skills development. And the first measure there is to implement certificate of competence model to improve the pass rate. Because currently the department is very concerned about the low pass rate in the certificates of competency. That's why we and the MQA have decided to embark on this project to improve both the pass rate and the quality of the certificate of competence. Because the current model that we are using in the department, it's been there for many decades. So we decided to make sure that we improve it, to make sure it meets also the needs of the mining industry. And secondly, we also collaborate with the Department of Higher Education and Training and other stakeholders through the Mining Qualifications Authority to make sure that we implement skills development programs. And some of those programs include bursaries for students at University and University of Technologies. The MQA has got also quite an extensive artisan development program. And lastly, the MKA has got also quite an extensive adult education training, which is formally called ABET. The next strategic objective is that we need to make sure that we implement our service level agreements. And those entail mainly the training of our inspectors by the mining companies. They assist us in giving those trainees practical experience, and there are 47 learner inspectors that are currently being trained in the mining industry in the following fields, which will be occupational hygiene, mining engineering, electrical and mechanical, and lastly, mine survey. And the next objective is to develop and review internal processes. And the measure there is the percentage of identified internal processes developed, implemented, and reviewed. And by that, I mean that from time to time, we review our audit and inspection tools that are used by our inspectors in the regional offices.
Another example would be the enforcement guidelines that are used by inspectors to issue instructions in terms of Section 54 and 55 of the Mandate and Safety Act. The next specific objective is to improve turnaround times. And the measures under the strategic objective, firstly, is that we need to make sure that we process at least 80% of the medical appeals. What that means is that if an employee has been found to be medically unfit by a doctor on the mine, that employee can appeal to the medical inspector who is situated in the department. And that appeal is forwarded to a panel of doctors for review. The second measure there is that we also need to make sure that we process the appeals that are forwarded to the Chief Inspector of Mines. Also in the Act, if an employer feels being aggrieved by a decision that has been taken by an inspector, there's a process that the employer can appeal against the decision of the inspector through the Chief Inspector, and we make sure that we process 100% of those. And then also in terms of the MPRDA, the branch is expected to comment on the issuing of the mining and prospecting rights as far as health and safety is concerned. And then the last measure there is that you also process quite a number of applications from the mining companies when they apply for exemptions and permissions, whether it be the Act or the regulations. And we also investigate complaints that we receive there from the public. Okay, I'll also now be talking to some of the key topical issues and projects that the authority has embarked upon. The Deputy Minister referred to this one, that last year the Mandate and Safety Council convened a summit on 18 and 19 November 2014. And the objective of the summit was firstly to review the current state of health and safety in the mining industry, and secondly, was also to set new milestones to make sure that we improve health and safety in the mining industry going forward. And the new summit milestones were all agreed by the different stakeholders, which should be government, our minister, labor, and employers in the mining industry. And each of these milestones have got an action plan, timeframes, and roles and responsibilities have also been clearly defined. Next slide. These are the new health and safety commitments that were agreed on in last year's summit. The first one is the elimination of fatalities and injuries. And secondly, is that we also make sure that there are programs to rehabilitate workers that have been injured in the line of duty. The third milestone was that also to make sure that we eliminate occupational lung diseases, and including silicosis, pneumoconiosis, and coal workers' pneumoconiosis. We'll also be putting programs in place to make sure that we eliminate noise-induced hearing loss, the reduction and prevention of TB, HIV and AIDS infections in line with the National Strategic Plan, which is set by the Department of Health. We also need to make sure that we integrate and simplify the compensation system within the mining industry. And also going to make sure that we implement the approved culture transformation framework, including the safety of women that are working in the mining industry. And if I can just also expand on the culture transformation framework, that it consists of seven pillars, and those pillars are leadership, risk management, bonus and performance incentives, management of information systems, diversity, and leading practice or best practice. This slide shows us the occupational diseases that were certified in the mining industry between 2003 and 2013. And the blue line at the top, it shows us the total of occupational diseases within the mining industry. Even though there's been a significant reduction from about 18,000 in 2003, to about 6,800 in 2013. The department is still concerned that the number of occupational diseases in the mining sector is still high, and that's why we've set ourselves milestones of eliminating occupational diseases within the mining industry. And as before, just go back. The dotted the red line, that is pulmonary tuberculosis, and in 2003 we had about 8,400 cases, and it has come down to about 3,200 in 2013, and the noise induced hearing loss cases are about 6,600 in 2003, and that has also significantly come down to about 1,300 in 2013. And thirdly, it's the silicosis cases, which were about 2,400 in 2003, and that those have come down to about 1,400. And the other diseases, which is the yellow line, I must say that they were still having challenges. We haven't seen any sort of a significant improvement, but they've marginally come down from 837 to 736 in 2003. Next slide. The objective of this slide is to compare fatalities due to respiratory diseases and fatalities. As you can see, the red line is the respiratory fatalities or deaths that we are having in the mining industry compared to the fatalities. Again, this graph goes to stress that there is still more work that needs to be done in eliminating occupational diseases within the mining industry. In fact, the ratio between the two is about 1:4. This slide gives us or shows the fatalities for the different commodities between 1993 and 2014. In 1993, we had about 615 fatalities, and that has significantly come down to 84 in 2014. And that overall decrease is showed in that table, which is about 86%. And then in the coal sector, it came down from 90 in 1993 to 9 last year. And that overall decrease corresponds to about 90%. And then lastly is the coal mining sector, which had 426 fatalities in 1993, and that has come down to 44 last year. Again, still the department is concerned about these fatalities. Our job will only be done once we make sure that we have achieved zero fatalities. And then the next two slides will be showing the latest performance of the mining industry. As you can see, that between the 1st of January and the end of April this year, we've had 24 fatalities compared to 35 last year, and the overall reduction is 31%. And also gives us a breakdown of the different commodities. And we are very encouraged that we can see a significant reduction when it comes to the gold sector, because that's our most challenging sector currently. And then this slide gives us a breakdown of the performance of the different provinces, starting with the Western Cape, which had zero this year, as well as the Eastern Cape and the Klerksdorp, and then the other provinces or regional office and regional offices. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you. Program 3, Mineral Regulation.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and Deputy Minister colleagues. The purpose of Program 3 is to regulate the minerals and mining sectors to ensure economic development, employment, and ensure transformation and environmental compliance. And the objective of this program is to transform the minerals and mining sectors into one that competitively contributes to the sustainable development of the country. As a program, we strive to implement as our strategic objectives the following. One, promotion of job creation, promotion of sustainable resource use and management, reduction of state environmental liability and financial risk, implement transformation policies and legislation, monitor and enforce compliance, as well as improving turnaround times. Next slide. With regard to the strategic objective on promotion of job creation, our performance measures are: one, the number of social and labor plans that are development projects because of their impact on job creation, the creation of the number of black industrialists that are created through procurement in mining, because it's one of the most critical areas with regard to job creation and other multiplier effects, and as well as the number of jobs that get created through mining, as well as when new mining operations come on stream. Next slide. With regard to the objective on promotion of sustainable resource use and management, our performance measures, one is around the percentage of evaluated work programs, either for prospecting and or mining, considering the elements of sustainable development. Also, the percentage of approved social and labor plans relative to rights issued, considering the elements also of sustainable development. And the last one is around the percentage of granted environmental authorizations, previously called environmental management plans and programs, relative to rights issued and exemptions applicable, considering the elements of sustainable development. With regard to the strategic objective on reduction of state environmental liability and financial risk, our performance measures, one is around the percentage of statutory orders and notices issued to remedy inadequate financial provision, and as well as the percentage of closure certificates issued in line with the regulatory framework as prescribed. Next slide. Regarding the strategic objective on the implementation of transformation policy and legislation, the performance measures that we're driving is around the number of, that we have a target for the number of rights and permits that are granted and or issued to historically disadvantaged South African controlled entities. And the other measures around the number of consultations and engagements and conflict management with communities and stakeholders in the mining industry. We have the target as outlined in our strategic plan, as well as the number of industry workshops that we conduct in the various regions to clarify and then empower stakeholders with better understanding of the regulatory framework. With regard to the strategic objective on the monitoring and enforcement of compliance, the target outlined in the APP, our performance measure one is around achieving compliance with regulatory framework, the requirements through verification inspections that we conduct from time to time, and as well as the implementation of an enforcement procedure to collect prospecting fees, which is linked to our audit report, And in this regard, it's important to highlight that we do have a new revenue management system that is in place, that we are implementing in conjunction with the CFO, which has assisted us to deal with some of the audit issues that made our audit report not look good in the past. And with regard to the strategic objective for improvement of turnaround time, our performance measure is the percentage of adherence to prescribed timeframes for prospecting and mining rights applications, which is linked to issues of service delivery. Next slide. On over and above our APP and the targets, we do have a new system that we have implemented relating to the integration of the mining licensing system, normally referred to as the One Environment System. We were then requested to come and present an action plan with timelines to brief honorable members on progress that we are making. So the action plan, as it is on the presented there, the first item relates to the training of regional managers, deputy directors and assistant directors on environmental mineral resource inspectors for them to be competent to discharge their responsibilities. And the timeline and status one is that the training of the said officials is an ongoing matter. The first batch of the officials that had to be trained underwent the training. And our timeline was January 2015, that one, in terms of it having to commence, it did commence in an ongoing program. And the second part of our action plan relates to the training of 60 additional mine environmental management officials for them to be designated as environmental mineral resource inspectors so as to increase our footprint and pool of officials to conduct with compliance. And in terms of the timeline, for the 16, the first batch in terms of the 16 going in is June, and in terms of the 30, each group will be 30, and then the second group will be going in September still this year, because we're targeting the 60s. And the third action relates to finalization of process flows to ensure that there is seamless implementation, and that part has been completed. The mapping necessary for us to be able to implement has been finalized. And the fourth action relates to the recruitment and the selection of staff. That has started and is an ongoing matter. Next slide. As I was indicating earlier on with regard to the appointment of compliance inspectors, the EMRI training was conducted in collaboration with the University of Pretoria, and the aid officials completed their training at the beginning of the year in January 2015. Following the completion of their training, the minister designated the said officials in terms of NEMA for those who had completed the training, together with the newly recruited officials who already had the EMRI training from the Department of Environmental Affairs. Our regional offices have also been empowered in terms of NEMA to conduct compliance inspections. Each regional office has three officials attending the training, and all our regional managers and deputy directors are designated as grade 1 EMRI. Our security risk management officials, because of the nature of dealing with illegal mining and so on, have been trained and are designated grade 2 EMRI, and then assistant directors in the regions are designated grade 3 EMRI. The next training, as I indicated earlier on, of the 60 officials scheduled during this financial year, in collaboration with the University of Pretoria. We were also requested to provide an update and brief on the framework agreement for sustainable mining. And the background to this agreement is the following, that in July 2013, our former Deputy President facilitated the development of the framework agreement for a sustainable mining industry, as was mandated by our President. The stakeholders to this framework agreement are government, and the side labor, which comprises of the NUM, AMCU, UASA, and Solidarity, supported by the Federation, being COSAT, NACTU, and FEDUSA. On the side of business is the Chamber of Mines, as well as the South African Mining Development Association, or SAMDA. Next slide. An action plan for the framework agreement was developed and comprised of the following five objectives. One, ensuring the rule of law, peace and stability, which is core, because at the time of the development of this framework, we still had challenges of violence in certain areas within our country, relating to areas where mining operations were. Strengthening labor relations. And third one, improving living and working conditions of mine workers. And the fourth, providing short to medium term measures to support growth and stability. And lastly, identifying long term measures that were required or are required to support growth and stability of the mining industry. Because mining is a resource and capital intensive, so issues of certainty and stability are important. As per the June 2014 State of the Nation Address, the framework is now led by our president. Next slide, thank you. With regard to the framework agreement, once again, a total of 2.1 billion rand over the MTF period was ring-fenced for funding housing project implementation in the respective mining towns, and we'll elaborate a little bit further going on. Then of that, 290 million rand has been approved for informal settlement upgrading for the 2014-15 period in the mining towns in the following provinces: Mpumalanga, Northwest, Gauteng, Northern Cape, Limpopo, and the Free State. Now, with regard to the informal settlement, 82 of such settlements are currently being assessed or planned through the National Upgrade Support Program. 20 of these settlements have now been moved into the implementation phase by the provinces. With regard to human settlement project implementation, 66 projects are being implemented, including those 20 that I referred to in the informal settlements. There is also furthermore tenure work that has been done in the 40 projects. We also requested to provide an update on the special presidential package for the revitalization of distressed mining towns. In late 2012, an interministerial committee for the revitalization of the distressed mining communities was established to address Part 3 of the social accord that was signed. And this Part 3 dealt with addressing socioeconomic challenges in mining districts and their labor sending areas. The interministerial committee that I alluded to focused on, number one, the integration sustainable human settlement. And this stream is led by the Department of Human Settlement and supported by its agencies, including housing development agents. And the second leg dealt with the improvement of socioeconomic conditions, which is led by DCOG and the Department of Traditional Affairs, Rural Development and Land Reform, and supported by other departments. And the third stream dealing with the improvement of working conditions of mine workers, which is led by the Department of Labor. And the fourth stream deals with decent working conditions for mine workers and meaningful contribution to the development trajectory of mining towns and labor sending areas, and this is led by our department, and it relates to the improvement of housing conditions. So, and on this slide, we are seeking to provide a breakdown of the spread of the towns that are in this phase included in the special presidential package for distressed mining towns. And the 15 mining areas in the 5 provinces and the associated labor sending areas have been prioritized for the revitalization of this. With regard to, so we show the province, the district municipality, and the local municipalities that are affected. And with regard to Limpopo, the district is Greater Skukhune, and the local municipalities are Setakhomo, Dubazi, and Elias Motsoaledi, and then the second district is Waterberg, and the focal there is Lephalale. And in Gauteng, it's West Rand, with the municipalities of Veterinaria, Randfontein, Mohale City, and Merafong. And in the northwest is Bojanala district, which covers Rustenburg, Moses Kotane, and Madibeng municipality. Then the second district municipality is Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, and the local municipality there is Matosana. And in Mpumalanga, it's Nkangala district, which covers Emalahleni and the district municipalities. In the Free State is Lejwe Puta, and then the local municipality is Machabeng. Next slide. With regard to labor sending areas, there are 12 labor sending areas in the two provinces that have been prioritized also for the revitalization of distressed mining towns. These are the ones traditionally where mines draw their labor. And in the Eastern Cape, there are two districts that have been prioritized, OR Tambo and then Alfred Nzo. In respect of OR Tambo, it's King Sabata, Dalinjebo, as well as Nyandeni, Musa Hill, Mtonto, and Port St. John. And in respect of Alfred Nzo, it's Mbizana and Dabangulo. In respect of KZN, KwaZulu-Natal, the district that has been prioritized is Zululand, and the local municipalities is Zabakolusi, Edumbe, Nongoma, Ulundi, and Upongolo. With regard to the special presidential package, there are a number of projects that are being implemented in the various districts and municipalities, some in conjunction or collaboration with mining houses or companies, and others by government departments. In the Free State in Majabeng, there are over 48 projects that are implemented by government and mining companies covering a broad spectrum ranging from human settlement, water and sanitation, economic development, as well as rural development. In Gauteng, Western Area, Randfontein, Mohale City, and Merafong, we've got over 71 projects that are implemented by government departments and mining companies, once again covering human settlement, various infrastructure areas, and economic development. In Limpopo, in Setakhomo, Tubas, and Elias Mutualeti, over 162 projects are implemented by government departments and mining companies covering human settlement, sanitation, rural development, and economic development. And in Mpumalanga, the Emalahleni and Steeptoetoe, over 62 projects are being implemented by government departments and mining houses to covering human settlement, various water and sanitation and infrastructure projects, and the economic development. In the Northwest, you have in Rustenburg, Moses Kotane, Madibeng, and Matlosana, over 106 projects are implemented by government departments and mining companies covering human settlement, economic development, and sanitation. Next slide. Outside the projects being implemented, there are a number of other strategic initiatives or projects that are currently underway. And the first one is around the socio-economic diagnostic studies that are coordinated by DPME. What is important to highlight with regard to these diagnostic studies that are currently underway is to better understand the needs of those specific mining towns so that the interventions are targeted at addressing the real needs. And progress in this regard is that draft baseline diagnostics have been completed for all the 15 mining towns and the 10 major labor sending areas drawn from the Eastern Cape and KZN, as I indicated earlier on. The offices of the Premier in the respective province are playing a critical role in this process. The other update is that there was a study on the migrant labor study that was also commissioned, and that study has now been completed with the participation of labor, business, and government. Policy proposals that have been made from this study relating to the development of integrated human settlement, the development of sustainable economic opportunities in the labor sending areas, and the improvement of the workplace relations in mind. You know. Next slide. The other update is that six district investment opportunity studies have also been conducted by IGC for the following regions. West Rand, which covered Western Area, Skukune, Lejwe Puta, Bojanala, Waterberg, and Nkangala. These analyses are designed to assist municipalities to attract investment and job opportunities to their regions by creating the enabling economic development environment. And in conclusion, it's important to highlight that you know, continuous alignment of government plans to enhance joint program implementation, which covers the broad spectrum of government departments, remain key. And partnerships between private sector represented here in, by mining companies and government in the housing delivery program is always encouraged, and it's at various stages. There are a number of examples of where this is taking place. Next slide. Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of program four, the section will be read in conjunction with pages 46 to 61 of the table annual performance plan. In terms of the purpose of the branch, to formulate mineral-related policies and promote the mining and minerals industry of South Africa, making it attractive to investors. And the objectives is through research, provide relevant information to enhance global competitiveness, review policies, and formulate legislation to achieve transformation, attract new investment into South African minerals industry. We also have five strategic objectives. The first one is to promote investment in the mining sector, promote sustainable resource use and management, facilitate transformation in the mining sector, and develop and review internal processes, and lastly, improve turnaround times. In terms of the first strategic objective, that is promote investment in the sector, we have measures that we to support the objective. First one is the technical and promotional publication that we publicize as a department, and technical and strategic partnerships, including local and international, that we also have. And we support SMMEs in the mining sector, engagements with stakeholders. We also implement the Ocean Economy Operation Pakisa Action Plans. And lastly, we report on the implementation of beneficiation framework and promotional activities. If you continue with it, in terms of promoting investment in the mining and upstream petroleum sectors, the relevant measures for that is a social dialogue with social partners, and we report on strategic minerals. We also consult on promotional activities. We do promotional activities and monitoring on shale gas exploration. And lastly, we report on interventions to facilitate strategic state participation in mining and upstream petroleum development. In terms of the next strategic objective, promote sustainable resources and management. Our performance measures is the technical partnerships with the SOEs, including CGS and MinTech. We develop a code policy in collaboration with relevant stakeholders and the other departments. There's also a framework for mine and environmental management, and also the reputation of derelict and ownerless mines. Lastly, we revise mining strategy for sustainable growth and mining meaningful transformation. In terms of the strategic objective, facilitate transformation in the mineral sector, there are two measures, performance measures there. They report on impact of policy on investment, the review and we amend policies and regulations. The next strategic objective, develop and review internal processes. We review of internal business processes to improve efficiency. And lastly, in terms of the last strategic objective, improve turnaround times, we adhere to the prescribed timelines. Now, there was also a touch on acid mine drainage. The progress that has been made on this subject, the Council for Geoscience prepared a comprehensive report on AMD in 2010. The Cabinet established an IMC on AMD, which was constituted by the DWS, led formally by the Department of Water Affairs, the Department of Environmental Affairs, and the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, ourselves, the Science and Technology and National Treasury, to consider appropriate intervention sought to mitigate the effects of AMD with focus on the best basin. Interministerial committee secured funding to implement emergency interventions to reduce the mine water to below the critical levels. And lastly, a pumping and treatment facilities
were installed at the western basin to neutralize the acid water that was already decanting and to maintain acid mine water to well below the environmental critical level. Continue with it, project. Accordingly, the department has constructed the Florida Canal to prevent ingress of fresh surface water from entering underground workings and the input of AMD. Secondly, saving 1 megaliters per day of fresh surface water, which is being diverted to the river system. And lastly, 3 more being proposed, 1 in the eastern and 2 in the central belt basin. In terms of our beneficiation strategy, the progress in that regard, the cabinet has approved the beneficiation strategy as a policy, and the current MTEF commits development of the mineral beneficiation implementation plan. And the Department of Trade and Industry is the lead department, and we are supporting as the Department of Mineral Resources. This work is a subject of development. The MPRA is being amended to provide the regulatory basis to provide security of mineral supplies intended for local beneficiation, classification of minerals as strategic, and lastly, the cost relating to the strategy is not specifically allocated, but there are officials that are supporting implementation led by the PTI. In terms of shale gas, during February 2011, the department imposed a moratorium on the processing of new applications for reconnaissance permits, technical cooperation permits, exploration rights, and production rights. An interdepartmental team was convened to investigate and submit a report on the potential environmental risks associated with hydraulic fracturing, as well as the negative and positive social and economic impacts of shale gas. Also, the Cabinet approved the report on investigation of hydraulic fracturing with the following key of recommendations. Firstly, the establishment of an interdepartmental committee to augment the current regulatory framework to mitigate any negative environmental impacts associated with hydraulic fracturing, and a need to collaborate between the Department of Mineral Resources and Science and Technology to explore mechanisms for the coexistence of the astronomy research projects and development of shale gas in the Karoo. The progress on shale gas: the Interdepartmental Committee has developed the regulations for petroleum exploration and exportation to address the following: augment gaps identified in the current regulatory framework governing exploration and exploitation of petroleum resources, particularly in relation to hydraulic fracturing. Secondly, to prescribe good international petroleum industry practices and standards that will enhance safe exploration and production on petroleum. And last on the slide, the draft regulation has been published for public input and comment, and substantive submissions received from interested and affected stakeholders. The progress continued. The revised regulations process the stakeholder input introduced shift from emphasizing on coexistence of shale gas development with a national astronomy program, including SKA, to protection of the astronomy program in terms of the Astronomy Geographic Advantage Act. Secondly, the draft regulations have been published in the Government Gazette, and the communication strategy and regulation has been presented to the IMC and will be submitted to Cabinet. The next slide basically shows the performance of the mining sector since the promulgation of the MPRDA. There has been an increase in the number of people employed in the sector, mainly with the platinum group metals indicated in red on the slide, the gold in green, and purple coal, and light blue chrome, manganese, orange, and so forth. You can clearly see that the main sectors that employ people in the mining sector are the PGMs, the gold, and the coal sectors as well. I think generally, although there's been challenges in the past 10 years, basically clearly shows us since the introduction of the MPRA, there's been a significant introduction in employment of workers in the sector. Similarly, in terms of the total sales, the revenue for the same period, 2004 to 2014, you can clearly see that there's been an increase. Obviously, we take note and acknowledge the impact that the 2008 recession has made to the sector. However, since then, you can clearly see that there has been the total sales revenue has increased, and the TM has also touched on the current softening of the local and global economy and the impact that it has on the mining sector. In conclusion, the department is committed to continue with the journey of good financial management and implementation of the annual performance plan. And lastly, in the implementation of the APP, we will continue to work together with our stakeholders, including other government departments, organized labor and the public, and also business. Thank you.
Thank you. They presented all the programs, so it's entirely up to us to engage members. No, it's clear that you were educating members. They don't have questions. No, I'm joking. Honorable Labuskakhen, you're going to be the first one. Honorable Masangu, the second one. Honorable Smith, the third one.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a few questions. First of all, thank you for the presentation. That's given clearly. I always have a problem in trying to manage all the various documents because the department presented from one document, which I understand, but then it's got the APPs and you refer to that and it's got the strategic plan and all these things. So I try to go according to the outline, but I unfortunately I'm not going to follow that. I've got a few questions. The first one is just on the policy initiative. In when you start in the strategic plan for 2014-19 on page 6, although it's not been presented here, but I've read it. I would like to know when was the last impact assessment of the legislation been done. What was the outcome of it, and when does the department plan to do the next regulatory impact assessment? According to state here that the plan policy initiatives is conduct a regulatory impact assessment of identified legislation. And I raise this question because in the NCOP we are, our actual mandate is legislation. So I would like to know that. Then I'm working through this now on the communication. You referred to on page 8 to the communication marketing compared to the generalized and popularized awareness of shale gas and hydraulic fracking. Sorry, I would like to know what was the research? Was this whole campaign being based on research? What was the cost of this campaign? Who were the role players, and if there were any donors to the campaign, on the shale gas and fracking? And then I think, as the committee, we haven't had any feedback or presentation, and I know because we are time limited, of your public entities. They was referring to the funds and those things to the entities, but I would like to know, and if it's not can't be given here right now, maybe later on in a presentation or so, what entails the oversight of the office of the COO over the public entities? What is your kind of oversight role? How do you do it? What do you do? The office of the chief operating officer. says the Office of the Chief Operating Officer will undertake this oversight role of public entities reporting to the Minister of Mineral Resources. Except if I understand it correctly. And then, I had to go. The online system on page 10 of your thing, you referred to that in some other ways, but I would like to know the online system for lodging and administrating mining and prospective applications. How is it going? Progress on that, and then also on the compliance issues that you refer there, that mining will have to comply to environmental management, mining charter, the optimum utilization of mineral resources, and the eradication of illegal mining. That should be the focus, and I'm sure maybe the department will be able to give us a full report on that today, but with the chair maybe a report to this committee, with a breakdown maybe on the different types, the different sectors within the mining, and how are they complying to this in the various provinces. And then the progress on the eradicating the derelict and onerous mines. I picked up a number of 160 or something like that here somewhere. I'm not sure. And maybe the whole strategy on how the department planned to do that, if we cannot give it today, maybe at a later stage, yeah. And then I would like, on the acid mine drainage that you covered, I would like to know when the report on the field investigation of the Olifants catchment area has been, if it's been completed. It's indicated that it's been completed. When will it be released, and what are the findings, and could the department maybe do a report on that and the impact thereof to this committee at the later stage? And then I would request, maybe we should, the department to brief the committee on the full beneficiation implementation plan framework. It's a whole mouthful. And then I would like to know, I picked up on your here. Now I have to go and look at this, I don't know where, on a coal policy. Not exactly, okay, on the strategic objectives, page 60 of your presentation. Provide sustainable resource management, develop a coal policy. I would like to know what is the time frame for this, and maybe also a presentation to this committee. And then I would like to know, in your mandate, the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act, what is the status of that act at the moment? I know that the act was referred back to the NA, and it served before the Portfolio Committee, and according to the NCOP's order paper of the ATC, it's indicated that it is referred back to the President. It hasn't come around to the NCOP for the second round this year, so I would like to know, how do I understand the ATC and the process of that specific act as it is now, if the department has an idea on that, please. And then, in your vision of 2019, you said that a globally competitive, sustainable and meaningful transformed mining and mineral sector. I would like to know what sources does the department utilize or use to ensure that South African mining is competitive and is being portrayed as attractive for as a destination for mineral mining and development? And how competitive are we really? Can the department report on our real ranking in developmental countries and or in the rest of the world? I still have a few other questions, but I think I will conclude now and give my other colleagues a chance to come back later.
Let me declare upfront, as powers vested in me as the acting chair, that the benefits of being the first person to have a bite, I'll give you an opportunity to ask as many as you can. But all those that are following after my honorable friend, Labostakhan, you don't go up to it. You have a maximum of 3, not beyond 3, so that you can do justice to the process. But those are the benefits of being the first person to use that opportunity. So all those that are following, you must know that asking up to a maximum of 3, of course you can have a second bite if there's going to be any. I'm getting to Honorable Masango. Thanks, Honorable Silabuskahen. Every time if you take the first opportunity, you can ask as many as you possibly can. Thank you. Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. I feel deprived here. But I didn't have a lot of questions anyway, so that works a lot. My question is a question of clarity. When the CFO was making a presentation, there was a slide that spoke to the mine health and safety not getting any money because of the tightening of funding. And I was asking that in the light of the what seems to be a need to work on that, given the, especially where the safety of women in mining is concerned, where we've had some reports of a woman not being safe in mines. As such, but I just wanted to know that did I understand it to mean that there is no money allocated to mine health and safety, and what are the implications of that given the situation that the fact that there needs to be work done there within the period under review. And the second question, in fact it's a comment, that the slide that spoke to the 6 district investment opportunities studies that have been conducted by IDC actually piqued my interest, because one works in the Ngangala issue, I mean in the Ngangala area, and there's a huge need of job opportunities there because of places like Ikandastria that has totally been, if I could call it, decommissioned, if you like, and there's just a very high unemployment challenge in that area. So one would like to know what those investment opportunity studies are talking about, as specifically as it relates to the Ngangala area. And okay, I'll stop there before I reach my.
Thanks a million for adhering to the order. Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got two questions. The first one is related to page number 49, revitalizing mining towns. Specific in terms of Limpopo, the province of which I represent here, and Waterberg as a district, I see the absence of Mokopane or Mogalakwena local municipality that is also a mining town, and obviously growing in terms of that. If we look at the resources in terms of platinum, the reef that is there, that is said is even richer than the Rustenburg reef. and the constraints or the burden that is being brought to that town through mining. Are we being reactive or are we being proactive here? Because it seems like we're acting on municipalities that's already being pulled down by these restraints. And then relating to this specific question is also, as I've asked before, what is being done by the department to make sure that when a mine comes and presents the social responsibility report or whatever, I can't remember the exact wording for that, that they actually include discussions with what the needs of that town will be in terms of the burdens that they bring. For example, road infrastructure, water, all of that. Because it seems like there's a gap between that. They present something to the department, but what interaction is taking place with the municipality to make sure that that plan is actually viable and really going to contribute and cover all the gaps that is at the local municipal level. My second question is regarding also something that I've raised before. In terms of the strategy and going forward as a department, where mining or exploration rights is given within flood lines of river systems in freeland areas, for example, the Nails Flay, with the full spray mine, and apparently there's quite a few mines upstream that people are or companies are exploring at this stage. I've actually done a visit to the site, and I'm really concerned at how close that is to the river. It actually borders it like this distance from the actual river where the plant mining is supposed to take place. And I did not get a response previously, but I mean, according to me, no rights should be given to even explore in those areas, because it's not supposed to be mined there in the first instance. So I want to know going forward, what is how's the department, because there should be interaction between environmental affairs and the department as such as well, and it seems like there's a bit of a gap. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Smith. Honourable Prince.
One question to ask: can we or the committee share with us, in short, the status of the Women in Mining strategy, who was promising to be finalized by the 31st of March 2015. Thank you.
Thank you. So that you can deal with all of them, DM and Mr. Msiza, with your delegation, I'll just add two to stick to the rule. The first one is about slide 53, where you are showing the districts. So if at all times you can try to be consistent when reflecting your districts and reflect provinces, because when we're doing the introduction, we're very clear about the provinces that we are representing. So we are making it simple for us. And linked to that is the number of tripartite workshops you conducted. You have indicated even the number, we are very specific, it's 40. So, but there is no breakdown. So, maybe in future, if you are coming to the select committee, you make that distinction, because it's making it simple for us. And when we go to do oversight, or it's a program of taking parliament to the people,
were able to do that oversight, and when we come here, we give credit to each two and we criticize in a very constructive way. The last one is the DM. To make it a point, Mr. Nsiza, that at all times, whenever there is, I like your conclusion when you are saying we are going to be working with all the relevant stakeholders. And at all times, as per the constitution, when you are dealing with parliament, many a times you'll find that out of unintended consequences by not your own design, but it's an oversight. I want to assume it's an oversight. When you invite parliament, you invite portfolio committee and leave out the select committee. And you are leaving out a very serious, important player that is supposed to be doing oversight. And some of the questions that are being asked here, they won't be asked because they will be part of those workshops and they will be on par with people that are in the portfolio committee, in the NA, in terms of understanding. So at all times when you invite parliament, make it a point that the select committee is also invited, and that will make your life to be much easier. And for us, when we're coming here, like I have 72 questions, but I've decided to have the three. As was said, we're going to speak to three. So we won't be having a lot of questions because we'll be on the same line. And we took a decision as the NCOP that is going to be business unusual. We're not afraid to give credit where it's due. And we're going to be criticizing in a very constructive way. And knowledge is power. And if we're not getting the information, we'll always be left out. I'm handing it over to you, DM, working with Mr. Msiza, to allocate the delegation to respond to the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I think the questions are very important and straightforward. But clearly, like the Honorable Labaskakhni was saying, there are others that need more time to give the details, because right now we'll just give information that is general. But I take the point, maybe I should start from the end, where we must always have in mind that when we have important activities and meetings, workshops, the NCOP select committees must be invited. But I also want to say that some of the initiatives do come from committees to on important matters that they want us to invite them to, and or to have a workshop on, or so on. So I'm just suggesting that let's have that in mind, but also we are available to come to select committees on specific issues. So let's just do it that way. But I would also wish to that is my personal one, have better relationship coordination between the select committee and the portfolio committee. I think when it comes to the districts and the opportunities that you alluded to, Memasango also alluded to, we'll ask the general regulations to deal with that in terms of the breakdowns and so on and so on in the slides for the future. But for now, it also ties to the issues raised by Honorable Masango in terms of the district, and in particular the Nkangala one. I think mineral regulation can just deal with that. That means that maybe you might want to deal with this, where we are with the women in mining strategy. Just that one. And I'm asked to allocate, so I'm just allocating. And in terms of the river systems, mineral regulation must deal with that. Basically, it deals with the sensitive areas in general, because there are areas that are also rivers where exploration takes place without much damage. But I'm just not justifying it. I hear the point about the nail slay and those mining activities. This slide on the social and labor plans, I suppose, SLPs, that is investment in communities, how they integrate with the IDPs. I think also the mineral regulations can deal with that. And that is from Honorable Smith, including the one of revitalization of towns. And a special reference is given to Mokopane, as a mining town that is developing what Platreef as the richest platinum area. But also maybe to give a background as to how we identify the mining towns that need revitalization. Because Mokopane is actually on the rise now. But we need to ensure that it doesn't also get the status of a ghost town later on. So the mineral regulations should deal with that. CFO, about the money that is not given to Mine Health and Safety Council, maybe you can deal with that. And in particular, how that we can also refer to the Chief Inspector of Mine, how that will affect the safety of women in mining. The other issues that maybe I should deal with this one, about the vision of mining competitiveness in 2019, how we ranking. There are many ranking indices that are used in mining. So there are areas where we're not doing well, and there are areas where we're doing very well. Maybe we should come back to you with a comprehensive answer on this matter. Because I don't have all the details in terms of that ranking, the ranking, different ranking, but also to say where we are in South Africa. But on the MPRDA, the matter is not back to the president. It's still in the parliamentary system. There were issues that were raised about how it must be tagged. You recall in the president's referral, there were both substantive issues of constitutionality and the issues of really the procedural issues. Procedural issues had got to do as well with how the matter is coming to the NCOP, how we deal with the National House of Traditional Leaders, and generally, because there was an issue that the president raised about the compressed way in which consultation was done. So the matter is not yet going to back to the president. We would, however, want to see the ATC, if you have the date for us, to just check what the ATC, today's ATC. Okay. That's fine, we'll check the ATC, ma'am, in terms of what it says. On the beneficiation implementation framework, I'm sure that the FCC can deal with that as well. AMD as well, field investigation on the Olifant's Play, you can deal with that as well. The online system is mineral regulation and compliance with other SLP's charter, and maybe between MPP and mineral regulation, you can deal with the issues of derelict and ownerless mines, because it falls under policy, but we have been engaged on this one. CFO, about the public entities in terms of their performance and oversight, if you can deal with that as well, and the role of the COO, Honorable Labaskarti dealt with. Communication and marketing in terms of shale gas, I think we have said where we are, but we can deal with that. But also the cost and role players in the matters. It's called hydraulic fracturing. You are right. I don't know who said it's fracking. But it's fine. It's American slang for hydraulic fracturing. They call it fracking. So we want to stick to the correctness of what we're doing. Lastly, on the policy initiatives and the strength plan that you referred to, the regulatory impact assessment, mineral regulations, maybe we should start there.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members. I'll start with the questions relating to the progress with the online system, which is our SAMRA application system. To say that further upgrades were effected to the system, including implementation of a user-friendly, modernized GIS system, which is compatible with the other GIS systems that are used in other departments, including the one used by environmental affairs. And these were intended to ensure that concerns and challenges relating to applications in your sensitive areas become better managed. so that they can automatically commence with blocking applications on those areas, which will address the concerns that were raised, including the concern or issue that was raised by Honorable Smith. So the further update to the system is that as part of support to the implementation of the integrated mining licensing system, which I referred to earlier on as the implementation of the One Environment System, data sets pertaining to environmentally sensitive areas were provided by Environmental Affairs, and those have since been uploaded onto our systems to ensure that we can have better data for purpose of decision making insofar as managing applications and mining in environmentally sensitive and protected areas. The other question was raised relating to compliance issues, including the breakdown of illegal mining and then the various activities and interventions of the department in the respective regions. In line with what DMO, Deputy Minister, was saying earlier on, I think we can provide a report in this regard so that it becomes more comprehensive. The other question that I may have, yes, related to, asked by Honorable Masango, related to the 6 investment studies conducted by IDC, which are currently underway, and the concerns pertaining to Ngangala. Even in this regard, the study is still underway, but what we will do as part of the report back, we will then provide an update with regard to how far the study is. Safe to highlight that the study is intended to do exactly that which is concerning honorable members, to ensure that when investments at reviving economic activities are made, they are targeted at the real needs, anticipating some of the constraints and what led to collapse or failure of previous interventions, so that we don't have a revival of Ngangala and it's not sustainable because you put in place certain investments by private sector not supported by the necessary or adequate infrastructure on the side of government or the other way around. And there were questions that were asked by Honorable Smith relating to Mogalakwena. What I need to highlight at the outside is that the special presidential package is an intervention intended to address a number of issues. One is to deal with the challenges arising out of mining ghost towns. But while doing that, and also address emerging challenges relating to some towns that may be in a bit of a declining health state, but also draw on these lessons and anticipate future challenges relating to emerging towns. And our deputy minister indicated, for example, the issue of Lephala, you know, because it belongs in a different state as against Machabe, for example. So in this whole package, whilst those are the ones that we identified for now, it does not imply that work in respect of other mining towns or towns where mining is taking place, they are left out. In this slide, when we're making presentations around human settlement, we also indicated Northern Cape. Although if we were to look at the priority mining town, it's not mentioned there. I can just give an assurance to honorable members that with regard to Mogalakwena, it's not left out. And just also highlight that as early as the last week, as late as last week, Thursday, we were having a session with the district mayor of Waterberg to deal with all issues pertaining to mining within the entire district. And included therein were issues pertaining to Mogalakwena. Because we are cognizant of the fact that Mogalakwena currently is having active mining operations, and it's important to anticipate and deal with those challenges before they graduate into something much more problematic going forward. The second question related to what is being done with regard to the social and labor plan to align them to the needs of municipalities and ensure that there's a better integration with the IDPs of former municipalities. And the response in this case would be what we are doing with regard to the special presidential package, because part of what we are doing also is to ensure that there's better integration and alignment between the social and labor plans of municipalities and the real needs of social and labor plans of mine to align to the integrated development plans of municipalities. But implementation of those projects that have a better yield in terms of impact. But with regard to the social and labor plans themselves, the applicant is required to, in the identification of the projects to be implemented, to consult and engage with the municipality. And at the tail end of the process, the municipal manager is required to convey in writing to the department to the effect that the projects that have been identified are those that are aligned and those that are drawn from the IDPs of the municipalities. But going forward, even included in the amendment of the MPRDA, having drawn on lessons from the first phase of implementation of the SLPs, there are certain amendments that we proposed, one of them being the coordination of the SLPs at the district level so that we're able to have a greater impact and better coordination and so on and so forth. The third question that was asked related to the strategy of the department on exploring and mining within proximity of riverbeds and or mining in sensitive areas. In this regard, our response is that the implementation of the integrated system working with environmental affairs, or what we refer to in NEMA as the One Environment System, is intended to address some of the challenges that may have been identified in the past around how we were operating in a kind of a fragmented manner, so that mining can in certain areas be restricted, and as well as the tightening up on the contents of environmental authorizations to prevent some of those challenges that are there. And just also give an assurance that we as a department have a structured manner of working very close with the Department of Environmental Affairs as well as Water and Sanitation through interdepartmental project implementation committee that we operate and cooperate with them on, and including coordinating and conducting some joint enforcement activities to areas identified where operations could either be taking place illegally or otherwise, where we think there are particular lessons to be learned so that we can rectify if there are particular challenges. And those will include instances where exploration may be deemed to be threatening or some water systems and so on. Thank you. If I've left, I'll be on it.
CFO?
Thanks. I'll start with the oversight of entities. The unit supports the minister in terms of the role that the minister has of oversight over the entities, mainly coming from the PFMA, managing the compact shareholders agreement that they sign on a monthly basis, making sure that the quarterly reports are in place. And the other control that we have is that there are officials within the department that represent the department in all the SOEs, and they report on the operational performance of SOEs on our ESCO board meetings on a weekly basis. So we have some controls around the governance and oversight on the state-owned entities. Mr. Msiza will expand more on the impact of the budget cut of 5 million, but from the engagement we had with Treasury, they had looked at the reserves that the entity currently has for the period and identified that they can be able to survive for now. And then they will review again if there's any pressure on the entity.
Thank you.
been highlighted by Honorable Babuskakhne. As ICFS indicated, some of the reports will forward it to the select committee, including on the AMD report, and also the beneficiation framework and the strategy on communication of shale gas. But just to touch on the beneficiation framework as well, as I indicated in the presentation, we are also, the DTI is leading in this process. We are supporting them. One of the things that we are supporting them is through our SOEs, including the NQA in terms of skills development. 2 years ago, there was a jewelry forum, for instance, that was held, led by our minister, and we've identified the skills needs that we have to look at as a sector. One of them was to ensure that there's enough entrepreneurs in that sector, not to depend on employment by the jewelers themselves. So we are engaging, we've in fact engaged with 3 TVETs or the previous FET colleges to come up with a syllabi that will really help us with that. MinTech as well is playing a significant role in terms of helping some of the provinces. And there are projects as well that have been run in the Northern Cape, for instance. In the Northwest, the NQA is working together with Bakhatla Bakhafela, one of the projects in terms of helping them with skills development. But they will come back in terms of the report, the full report as requested. Now, in terms of Honorable Masango, in terms of the whether there's any impact on women's safety on the budget cut, I think we are. It's safe to say that we have enough for our budget, as we've engaged with Treasury in terms of our projects at the Mine Health and Safety Council. In fact, as Mr. Zondi touched on his presentation, one of the areas that we've identified during the summit of last year on the commitments was the cultural transformation work, more focusing on women, as clearly indicated there, and it's one of the works that we'll be looking at. But I must also indicate that we have done research through the Mine Health and Safety Council on women's security. We've finalized that research. What we're going to do, starting from this year, we're going to come up with a guideline to guide the sector on how to deal with the security of women and safety-related matters. We are also engaging with women in mining workers, especially in the Rustenburg area, where there has been some of these incidents that you have referred to. And they are the ones who are saying to us, look, you have to look at A, B, C, and D. So we are coming with those programs to deal with the issues that they've raised. We also did some research in terms of the women PPE. One of the complaints that the women have highlighted to us was that, you know, the PPE that some of the mines have been providing them is like for male people. It's a personal. excuse me, I don't remember. So it's a personal protective equipment. In other words, the overalls, the boots that they wear. Yes, they are safety devices. Women have been complaining that it's really well done. So we've done some research and we came up with a guideline to also help the sector. Yes, and even the helmets, I think lastly on this particular issue, there's been a lot of sexual harassment cases that has been also raised in the sector. So through the council, we have developed our promotional material, including DVDs, which we are going to circulate into the sector to ensure that, you know, our colleagues in the sector really they also take this matter seriously. And lastly, Honorable Prince, in terms of the women's strategy, we've committed that by the end of July this year, we will come up with a draft. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me not deprive you. Honorable Smith?
Thank you. Chairperson or acting chairperson. Just as a follow-up, the one thing that I've come across is that civil society, who is concerned about, you know, mining, possible mining activities that need to, you know, put their side on the table when a mine is considered, is having certain challenges that they have to compete against a mining company that has got much more financial resources that they can ever have. So they have to go into a battle with somebody, you know, it's basically going into a battle with somebody that you can't win in the first instance. In the American model, you know, there's a fund available for civil society to make use of to challenge a mine in terms of environmental studies and whatever is done. Because we've got a challenge in our country that the mines is appointing the same people that does the environmental studies. And I think there's a bit of a conflict of interest there because they pay them. And obviously, you know, there's some type of influence there. And the civil society that is challenging that need to do counter studies to prove the other side, to say, but this is not correct. And the cost for that, I mean, you have to pay a specialist to do those studies. And specifically in Volkswagen is exactly the case, where people have taken money from their pockets to prove the other side. And their finances is going thin. I mean, they're doing it from their pockets. And the mine can just, you know, keep on going and challenging that from their side. So that's the one thing. And I want to know, how is the department looking into that? Maybe also if we look into environmental affairs, in terms of that, to make sure that we actually give people the opportunity to mine, because the whole framework that's there or legislation that's in place is good, but it is, you know, there's a fault line there, because the normal person on the street that is concerned about certain things can't actually use it because they've got financial constraints. So how can we attend to that? The second question is with regards to, as there is a environmental impact study, I actually feel that there should also be something called a infrastructure impact study, you know, in terms of municipal infrastructure. Because when a mine comes to a town, that burden that's brought to that town, I think, you know, because sometimes it's like, okay, we do a little project here and something there and whatever, and it's a bit of lip service that's being done to that community. I mean, I can take Mogalakwena. If you drive towards the mine, it's a single way road. The accidents happening on that road and the constraint that's brought to that road is done by the mines, because all the mines is using that one single road that goes out towards Steylop Waribone side. The other question I have is with regards to Volstead. Is there currently in the pipeline any possibility that a meltery might be established there, because people are talking about that possibly that they can come a, you know, meltery, because the closest one is the one in Polokwane, which all the mines from Tubatsi, you know, everywhere is actually using. Because it seems like as the exact place where that mine is supposed to come up is the cross road between the Zebediela fault line.
That was Smith.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. I allowed you. I don't want to.
Okay. I'm almost done.
I don't want others to get to the temptations. I'm from Mpumalanga.
I'll start asking them about Bawatone. What will be happening in Bawatone. We're dealing with the annual performance plan of the department. And the DM was very correct that we have to have initiatives so that we can be assisted.
Thank you. I'll put it in a written question. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for understanding. Honorable members, DM, that's Honorable Khai from Eastern Cape. It's welcome. He's a member of the committee, but he's the acting chief whip of the NCOP. That is why it was reported earlier that it's engaged. But you have to correct the minutes because according to our apology, impression was created that you are not going to be joining us. So you might be reflected as somebody that has apologized in this meeting. So it's Honorable Khai from Eastern Cape is the member of the committee. The challenges facing South Africa is unemployment, inequality, and poverty. And the mining sector is key in terms of everything, of all the challenges that I've mentioned. That is why myself and Honorable Smith sometimes will be tempted to come with specific reference points dealing with the challenges facing the very same provinces that we are representing. But the DM raised two critical issues that we have to take into cognizance moving forward. The issue of our own initiative and how we work with the our colleagues in the NA so that we can make sure that we are not left out whenever we have to initiate something. And the very same issues that you are raising, Honorable Smith, not that they are not important, they are very important, but it's for us to come with a program so that we make sure that we do justice to them. But today we're more focusing on the APP of the department so that we can be able to focus when we go to the debate in the House, making sure that we have done justice to the process. Without much ado, let me take this opportunity, give it to DM and Mr. Msiza to deal with the questions that we have raised, and after that, then the last question that we have raised, and after that, then we'll give it to DM to have a parting shot, a message from the department. Starting with the question from Honorable Smith, the first question, because we started with the first question, not the last one. The last one will have some time.
Chair, thank you very much. I think even the first and the last are related, in the sense that Honorable Smith was coming with some suggestions as to how to help civil society and how to deal with issues that affect communities. It's a broader debate that I think we should have. We have tried to strengthen the law in terms of what should be done in consultation, but and there are also, like, rural development is playing a key role as well in areas where there is assistance to communities when it comes to consultation for mining areas. But Honorable Smith has raised other interventions like the American model that we might want to discuss at a later stage to see how far we should go. But on the impact assessment that is related to, it's true that if you go to Mogalakwena, the road is now congested, but the mine is also busy constructing a road for itself and so on. And maybe the other matter that is just raised by the DDG here is that if there are objections, there's only the cheaper route that communities can, maybe we can just ignore that slightly. But the point I was making is that I have been to Mogalakwena, and I think as you do some oversights yourselves, go to the areas, engage the mines, and the department will be there to also give updates on issues that you want to put as priorities, including where the smelters are going to be, you know, what is the strategy in that area. I think it's important that we deal with it that way. Just one last point. I know that we haven't responded adequately to the issues of shale gas and other matters. Maybe because the matters have been before cabinet last week, and maybe we should just give you that report as well in terms of when we give other reports to include that in the reporting. That's it. Okay.
Thanks, DM. With regard to the challenges and objections that get lodged by civil society and calls that they incur when they have to commission studies, specialist studies,
and the imbalance on the resource side with mines. What we want to highlight is that on matters pertaining to mining and applications, the NPRDA has a provision for objections that have to be lodged, and those ones get considered through a structure called the REMDEC, which stands for Regional Mining and Environmental Development Committee. It is a very important and a cheaper route for purpose of dealing with the objections. And what often then gets presented and discussed in that structure, it's in a manner that seeks to find a balance between competing interests, because ultimately mining and the contestation with regard to mining is about land use, and sometimes it competes with other priorities. So that structure is provided as an avenue other than having to ultimately pursue court route, which becomes a lot more expensive for communities and other civil society. We encourage that avenue and platform be utilized. And linked to that too is encouraging stakeholders to engage so that they can better capacitate in some way to better understand the regulatory framework, because we sometimes find that some costs may have been averted by others. I'm not saying that it's always the case, if they then had had dialogues and better understanding. Thank you.
Your parting shots, DM?
Thank you very much for the efficient manner in which the meeting proceeded, and for the encouraging and enlightening issues also raised by honorable members. I think it's encouraging that we all focus on the sector, which is so important to our economy. It has been historically the backbone of this economy and can still do so because we do have what it takes. We do want to also say that we're hoping to try and navigate the concerns raised by the President so that the issue of the NPRDA is taken seriously both by the NCOP and the NA, and also how we deal with the matter pertaining to the National House of Traditional Leaders substantively and also in terms of procedures. But also to say that we are at a very important critical phase in the mining industry. To me, it's really the crossroads, where there are issues of transformation that are on the table. There are also the issues of how the mining industry is performing under the difficult externalities influenced by global economic forces, commodity prices that are cyclical, but also the understanding that they will come back. We've got a history that says these are temporary measures, and that the issues do go forward again. The mining industry will bounce back. It's important that the issues of environment are raised consistently, because we've got this matter of a legacy that we've got to deal with, which is very expensive to the state. But to say, as we deal with environmental issues going forward, we've got to strengthen and from time to time look in this matter. The vexing issue of illegal mining, we said we'll give a report back on it, but it is vexing because it's highly syndicated. It's a matter that we've tried to deal with to the best of our abilities. We've arrested through the security cluster a lot of syndicates with lots of money and gold that they are taking from these. But it's illegal. We have to find a way of dealing with comprehensively with it. Many depots where there have been mining activity taking place and mines are closed, but it's become very complicated by the syndicates that are there. The last matter that is very important to us as well is how we deal with the issues of ex-mine workers. We've had a very comprehensive program where we've got special clinics for ex-mine workers in the Eastern Cape. We call them one-stop service centers. We've got one in Carletonville. We try to proceed to go to the Northern Cape, to go to Limpopo, and so on. This weekend, just as a party shot, we will be launching a very important campaign that will be launched by Dr. Motsoaledi in terms of how we are going to proceed with the payments, outstanding payments of ex-mine workers. So, unfortunately, you have to wait for that announcement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. From our side, there is
What I like, those I've said it many times. It was said before some that are in this room were born in 1966 by one of the South African entrepreneurs, Dr. Anton Rupert. As your Birmani Ietni, Kanyeini Rastaflapni. If your neighbor does not eat, you cannot sleep peacefully. And if those words at all times can guide all of us, we'll always be objective, honest, and fair to the process. But let me take this opportunity to thank you, DM, and your team for the efficient manner you were able to assist us in dealing with the detailed report. Then that brings us to the part that we have to now, having considered the budget vote 29 and the annual performance plan 2015-2016 of the Department of Mineral Resources, reports that the committee has concluded the deliberations thereon. Let's have the proposal and the seconder so that we officially conclude the business of the day. Honorable Lamuskakhan. Thank you. Honorable Prince. Julie seconded as such.
Malibongwe.
Thank you. We thank you for the efficient manner and your team, and if we can keep it in this fashion, it will always be simple for us and simple for the department. That's the message with us in the NCOP, is that our criticism is always going to be constructive. We're not criticizing because we are destructive. We'll have just we're just breaking for 3 minutes, allowing them to leave, and then we'll deal with our minutes, because it's our business, not their business.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chair.
Thank you. Thank you.
dealing with the minute, Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't have the minutes in front of me.
Yeah, I saw it coming. Now everybody has the minutes. It's just it's only two pages, but three to be precise, because it's both sides. Let's have a proposal and a seconder. If it's a true reflection of the meeting, outcome of the meeting of the 19th of May 2015. Honorable Masango?
I would like to propose that.
Honorable Masango is proposing. Any seconder?
Thank you, Chair. I second.
Thank you. Thank you. Before we conclude, I think it will be in order to give it to our secretary to give us a report about that planned meeting so that all of us are on the same page. So take us through.
Thank you, Chair. After the meeting of last week, I wrote an email to the department indicating 3 days, 2nd, 9 and 23 June, for the follow-up meeting. They've responded to say 23rd of June they cannot because it's their budget vote date. And then I said, well, choose 2nd or 9th. I gave them up till today to respond because I've got to inform other departments, etc. They still have not come back to me. So moving forward, it's the decision of the committee whether I follow up with them or just choose a date and give it to them. Thank you.
Oh, I thought you were giving good news. If you are giving that, it's better to allow the secretary and the chairperson to work on it so that we can be informed accordingly. Otherwise, it will end up, the unfortunate part is that I'm acting chair and whilst I'm the house chair dealing with committees. So it will be like I still have to respect the chairperson of the committee to process it properly. So let's allow them that opportunity, honorable members. Let me take this opportunity to thank all of you for your conduct and the efficiency you displayed today. It was an honor for me to be afforded the opportunity to be in this chair. So now the coup is over. I'm getting back to my position. Thank you. The meeting is officially adjourned.
Thank you.
can be able to see and the mind and even the people.
Thank you.